Welcome to the D Word, the UK's only weekly internet radio show that talks dementia, with me, your host, Peter Hill. Good to have you come here on the D Word. We've learned about how dementia is perceived in many places around the world, and this week we're going to be visiting Zimbabwe, a country that's 60% larger than the UK, with a population of nearly 17 million. A guide will be Ruth Memessa, an author and founder of Dementia Awareness Zimbabwe. Ruth will be joining me right after this from Pogo. My favourite country rock bands, Pogo and Forever, kicking off this week's edition of The D Word. Well, my guest is Ruth Memessa, founder of Dementia Awareness Zimbabwe. Ruth, it's a real pleasure to welcome you to The D Word as my guest. We've visited many countries in our 7 years, but we have never been to Zimbabwe. So it's great to talk to someone from Zimbabwe. You're founder of Dementia Awareness Zimbabwe, an author of your book, Not Witchcraft, Not Madness. And, you know, you're really carrying the torch for dementia awareness in your part of the world. But Before we get into all that, I mean, how did all this start? How did you become interested in dementia?
I think for me, it started when I worked as a care worker in the UK. And one thing that really hit me hard was the fact that when I started working in this care home, they didn't have an induction program. There was no training. So what they did, they've got what we call sitting with Nelly concept, where you are given somebody to sort of show you the ropes. So if you are unfortunate to, and you get paired up with somebody who wants to cut corners, who's not interested in her job, you learn all the bad things. And because you are new into that setup, you've got nothing to weigh it against. So you take it as the way things are done around here. So, but I must say that there were times when my heart just didn't resonate with what was happening. But I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to say. So I just coasted along, really, until I was introduced the other nursing home later on. I think about a year or so later, the nursing home I found myself in, they took us for training, induction, I mean, personnel, dementia awareness training. That was an eye-opener for me, Pete. You know, sometimes you want to sit down and cry and you say, I wish I knew this back then. You know, things would have been different because I found myself in a place where you'd say things, you'd do things, and it didn't sort of ring a bell or raise a flag to say, you are not to do, you're supposed to do that. But from where I'm coming from, you know, whenever you see an elderly person, there's a lot of respect that comes into it because I always want to introduce this concept of Ubuntu, which says, I am because, I've got this community around me that rallies around me, and you respect elders. That's one thing that, Ubuntu brings in. So when I found myself in that environment, I just didn't resonate with a lot of things. But after the training, things took a dramatic turn. I knew that dementia was something that you needed to go into with love, with understanding, with patience. So I felt I needed to go back to the very first nursing home and tell them about what I had discovered. They were so nice about it, Pete. They allowed me to come up with a training program. So I designed just a basic induction training program where we were just introducing, dementia in its basic form, because I was of the thought that you needed to understand the person first and foremost. And if there's love in your work, you don't care who the person is or where they come from or what they've done. You are just there to put love into your job and things, dovetail out of that. So to cut a long story short, I found myself back in Zimbabwe. And what I noticed, because dementia, it had become part and parcel of me. Because before I left in the UK, I was working at Croydon College and Nescott College, where dementia awareness was one of the mandatory courses. I was a tutor and an assessor. So when I came back home, I had all that information, that knowledge. And once I discovered that a lot of people back home didn't know what dementia was. And most of the elderly people were being labeled as witches. That really hit me hard. So that's where Dementia Awareness Zimbabwe was born.
Well, it's quite a story, Ruth, to start with, and I guess from knowing nothing to what you learnt, you're in a really good position to understand people who don't know anything about dementia and how to almost take them on your journey.
Absolutely.
And with that journey, I mean, it's one thing coming home and saying, okay, I think I can do some good and get people to treat people better, but it's another thing forming an entire organisation to do that. I mean, you're founder of Dementia Awareness Zimbabwe. I mean, how did you come to founding an entire organisation?
You'll be surprised when you have a concept and a thought. It doesn't matter whether you are small or you are big. The impact is there and the ripple effect is there. You just have to start with one person and then it just goes out, move from community to community, which is exactly what I did. I didn't have the funding to start a big organization. So I told myself that I was going to start where I was and see how far it will go. So my first port of call was the local city council, our local council. I went and I approached them and told them what I had in mind. And I was advised that Bulawayo, the town where I am, the city, it has about 29 wards in it. So at the back of my mind, I was thinking, I could actually start ward by ward, training people. The idea was for me to train a lot of people so that they become champions. Once they understand, they go back to their homes, they go back into the community, they're able to share what I was saying. Because I always told them that I'm not a doctor, but I'm speaking from lived experience, which is more vital and more impactful because you are talking about things that you know, talking about things that you have seen. So that's how I started. And the first session that I did, I had about 35 people who attended it. And it was the testimonies which they were giving after the training to say, you know what? Now I understand why my mom is acting the way they do. Now I understand why the neighbors were locking up their aunt because they felt embarrassed to take them out into the public spaces. So for me, that impact was deep. So I started documenting everything that the people were sharing, and this is how my book, Not Witchcraft, Not Madness, was born.
Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
Imagine. Every day, clients walk into your office with their concerns about intimacy, identity, desire, and trauma. Questions that require more than basic training. Emotional and sexual dynamics are evolving, and today's professionals must evolve with them. We hear from parents unable to start conversations with their children around identity. Too often, adolescents have learned their sexual ideas from the internet. Couples have difficulty communicating about sex with each other. At the International Institute of Clinical Sexology, you can gain the specialized skills and knowledge to address those issues with confidence. Whether you are a therapist, coach, educator, or other healthcare professional, our advanced certifications and PhD program empower you to become a highly skilled, sought-after sex therapist. expand your expertise, elevate your earning potential. Start your journey today with the International Institute of Clinical Sexology. Imagine making a difference in our world. Learn more at clinicalsexologyphd.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Pour myself out onto the hot bricks. Bad news in a burning sun. I had a dream, we hallelujahed the country all night, only to find that there was more to be done. Everywhere I look, I see balance at the scales, and I try to throw a little more good in the right. And I'm just waiting for a change of the breeze in the way that I think and the way that I lie to myself. With the change of the wind, I can move through the state I'm in. With the change of the door, maybe I could open myself better than before. With the change of the line, I could turn myself around without no reason or rhyme. 'Cause I can't change it all, but I can't change my mind. Tell me how good can the good really be if I hang my hat under the broadest tree. There get in like the light, the dark, the truth and the reality. And I know it's easy from a room with all the windows and a good view of the fire on the other side. Tell me how long can I last through the season before I challenge my reason for watching it all go by. With the change of the wind, I can move through the state I'm. Change of the talk, maybe I won't say things better than I walk. With the change of the time, yeah, I wanna know the truth and everything that I find. 'Cause I can't change it all, but I can't change my mind.
Change of wind from the Baby Guides here on UK Health Radio, where you find all our shows covering every aspect of health available for listen again and download from the website at ukhealthradio.com. This week our subject is dementia awareness in Zimbabwe with my guest Ruth Memeza. And you know, you're absolutely right in terms of awareness. Sometimes we kind of leap to the end of the scale and don't actually think about how someone has got there, and also the fact that dementia is a disease. It's not mem you know, this country, everybody thinks it's memory loss and nothing else. And also, obviously, with you had other issues. I mean, in terms of Zimbabwe, I guess there's a lot of rural areas, and that's a real challenge.
It is a challenge because I remember there was one when I went to do a session in the rural communities. There were some people afterwards who really gave me a hard time because they were saying, "We don't know where you're coming from because this witchcraft is real. What we see in the rural areas is real and it's not dementia. I don't know why you want to label it as dementia." So I let them talk. I realized that, arguing with them, I wouldn't get anywhere. So once they finished talking, I went back to what I know about dementia, how someone behaves, what happens. All I wanted was for them to understand why their loved one was acting in ways they couldn't understand. So after the session, I could tell that a lot of them were sort of almost persuaded, but not quite. So yes, there is a lot of work that has to go out there in the rural communities. Even in the urban areas, you do find, small pockets of resistance, people who are still strong on saying, no, this is witchcraft. We have to take them to a prophet or an inyanga to sort of, a witch doctor to try and help. So yes, all that I want to see happening is for the awareness to kickstart the process. And then slowly but surely we'll get there.
That is exactly the place to start, and also in your book, it's lived experience, isn't it? It's not a textbook, someone telling somebody what to do. It's actually somebody saying, "I have seen this," which that's important as well, isn't it? That you've lived it.
Now, when people read, the stories that are in the book, the lived experiences, that's when you see the penny dropping to say, yeah, that's exactly what we've seen, what's been happening at home or in neighbors or at church or somewhere. So for me, that's the impact that I've been gunning for all this time. And it has started. And right now, what I'm working on is to introduce dementia awareness to government so that they have a strong policy that will sort of buttress what I've been trying to push through. The few departments that I've spoken to, they've bought into the idea because they understand. After reading my book, they can actually see that we are onto a good thing here. Now the thing to do next is to sort of put a structure around it so that it can work and the ripple effect can cut across the whole nation, as it were.
Yeah, like I guess if you widen it out, if it cuts across the whole nation of Zimbabwe, there are I've talked to other people in Africa, and there are kind of little pockets of people doing exactly what you're doing, places like Kenya and Namibia and whatever, and it's I guess it's then joining it all together.
Absolutely, absolutely. The good part of it, thanks to LinkedIn, I've managed to connect with a lot of people. And there's one person I've connected with in Namibia, and another one in South Africa, in Kenya, and in Botswana, so and Zambia. So these are countries, which surround me other than Kenya. So you can imagine, because we are all speaking, from the same page, as it were. So if we can sort of consolidate our efforts, I feel something grand, can come out of that. So it is my hope that maybe one day we come up with something that will sort of have a ripple effect right across Africa.
Yeah, you know, that would be great. And you need the politicians to buy into that, don't you? And you need the people with their hands on the purse strings. Because as you said, you started with no finance, but, you know, and I guess you need to explain to those people the cost of not doing anything.
Absolutely. Because I think the way we've been doing it, people are noticing. And before we even knock on doors to say somebody must run with us, you know, to sort of, you know, give us the financial base to get this thing off the ground, we decided to go on, like what I was telling you, that it doesn't have to be 1,000 people. Even those five, if I can afford to do five training sessions every week, for me, I think that's the best thing that can happen, because those people become champions after that, and it's no longer a Ruth effort, but it has ripple effects going forward. So that's my prayer that, yeah, I hope, you know, it will dovetail into something grand for
Well,
Africa.
we're fully behind you in that, Ruth, definitely. I mean, in terms of medical profession, how easy is it if you're outside of Bulawayo or one of the urban centres to get a diagnosis?
It's very difficult because it's a costly exercise, first and foremost, and even the diagnosis. You have to go to specialists to actually get that. And very few people can afford that. So if government can have it as a mandatory, you know, training, or you know, as a mandatory diagnosis in local hospitals and clinics, I think that will make a lot of headway.
Slip sliding away, slip sliding away. You know, the nearer your destination, the more you slip sliding away. I know a man, he came from my hometown. He wore his passion for his woman like a thorny crown. He said, Dolores, I live in fear. My love for you is so overpowering, I'm afraid that I will disappear. Slip sliding away, slip sliding away. You know, the nearer your destination, the more you slip sliding away. I know a woman became a wife. These are the very words she uses to describe her life. She said, a good day ain't got no rain. She said, a bad day's when I lie in bed and think of things that might have been. Slip sliding away, slip sliding away. You know, the nearer your destination, the more you slip sliding away. And I know a father who had a son. He longed to tell him all the reasons for the things he'd done. He came a long way just to explain. He kissed his boy as he lay sleeping, then he turned around and headed home again. His slip sliding away. You know, the nearer your destination, the more you slip sliding away.
God makes his plan. The information's unavailable to the mortal man. We're working our jobs, collect our pay. Believe we're gliding down the highway when in fact we're slip sliding away. Slip sliding away. Slip sliding away. You know the nearer your destination, the more you slip sliding away. Slip sliding away. Slip sliding away. The nearer your destination, the more you slip sliding away.
Certainly haven't played that for a while. Paul Simon and Slip Sliding Away. Always good to hear from you during the week. You can find me on LinkedIn and Radio TDW is on all the social media platforms with regular updates on our Facebook page. And the email, of course, is tdwradio@gmail.com. My guest this week is Ruth Memeza. Yeah, that's that's an area I've got to say we still struggle with a little bit in the UK. That is, it's fairly big piecemeal, depending on where you live, as to how easy it is to get a diagnosis. Now we're talking with about people living with dementia, as we should do, but it's always a team effort, isn't it? And those carers of people living with dementia, and I guess, is it in Zimbabwean society you're more likely, perhaps, you've been in the UK, you've seen what it's like. We have a number of residential homes and those kind of things. Is it more likely in Zimbabwe that someone in the family is going to care for one of their family members?
Well, from our setup here, it's always expected that women will become caregivers in the family. So if anything happens, you find that the women have to carry that load. Very rare for a man to take that role, but the responsibility falls on the shoulders of women. So what I've discovered is that most of these women are not trained, but they find themselves in a situation where they don't understand what they are facing. They have no name for the condition. They don't understand why the person is acting the way they are acting. So they just do what they feel is right. And half the time, it ends up hurting the person that they want that they love. Because it's like doing something that is good for the person, but not something that is the right thing to do for them. So I believe that with proper training, which we've done, I've put together a training program for all the caregivers. So if we walk into a home, which usually is the case, they'll call me to come in and talk to the family. And then first and foremost, I'll say, the caregiver is my priority. And then after that, the family will come and then we take it from there. And it makes so much difference. You could see the confidence in the caregiver once they've been given that information. That is why I decided to go all out and make sure that even the caregivers, they are given this information so they know how to act and act correctly and with love. I always push forward that if you don't love your job and you don't love the person you are caring, looking after, you'll have problems. So make sure that you develop that kind of relationship which will grow into love and acceptance for the home.
Yeah, I think I'm going to start calling it Ruth's ripple effect, so that if you actually, you know, drop a pebble into the pond, then all the ripples come out and suddenly you've got an organisation with a lot more people understanding. I guess the other problem, the problem we have here, problem world over, is that you've got family caregivers, but family caregivers are unpaid, and it's, you know, a situation whereby they're saving states lots and lots of money with people staying in their own home, but they're struggling to do so.
But well, unfortunately, here we don't have nursing homes like the setup is in the UK. We do have, you know, one or two here and there, but the majority of the elderly in our communities are kept in the home. That has always been the case, but lately, I see the shift is changing because most of the children are in the diaspora now, working. So most families, there are a lot of pockets where you find that most of the gogos and the kulus, which is our grandmas and grandfathers, they are left on their own with a carer to look after them without any supervision. So I can feel the talk that is going amongst the children who are overseas to think of introducing care homes which they can support and help as far as possible. So I see another route that can actually progress from that thought.
It does, you know, it takes people like you to kind of read the room, if you like, in terms of where this is going, because you got your initial understanding, you know, what we here would probably call the nuts and bolts about it all. But you've also got to be aware of your community, how that community develops, and all the things you've been telling me about, you know, life is changing. Young people aren't at home anymore to look after people. So, you know, and I guess they're all things that you've got to improve. Apply towards the government writing a policy.
Yeah, it is. I mean, the conversations that are happening at the moment, they are leading to that. You know, it will take time. I know that. But the thing is to plant the seed. You just open, as long as you get an open door, you plant the seed and allow people to talk about it. And I mean, with more talk, things are going to change, and with more people buying into the idea, yes, we are going to see a lot of changes happening, and good changes for that matter.
Yeah, most certainly. I mean, broaden it out a little bit. Do you think that obviously a lot of the narrative here in the UK is about searching for a cure, which is great, everybody wants one. But in that narrative about searching for a cure, we leave out a little bit those people that are currently living with dementia and what we can do to make them more comfortable and to have a better life.
It's very true, because even when I go and do my sessions, you'll hear some groups saying that there is a cure. They know how to prevent or slow down, you know, using herbs and things like that. I don't want to dispute that, because the jury is still out on that one. They're still trying to find ways of, you know, alleviating this the condition. So, but what I always insist is that people must exercise. I always tell them that you keep your body active, and you also must eat well. Choose what you eat and be guided by nutritionists as to the kind of foods that you can eat. And if you research about it, there are certain foods and way of behaviors that can actually help, you know, people who are living with the condition. So that's one thing that I'm trying to introduce to the people. Say, no, there are ways, but like I'm saying, the jury is still out on that one. So what we can do, we can only do so much as long as we know that it is helping out.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Sarah wasn't bad at her job, she was stuck in hidden grief. After her dog died, she took a sales role just to stay busy, but every pitch felt empty. A Cogna Movement session uncovered that she was seeking the warmth of her dog rather than serving her clients. Using our patented movement and sensory patterns, she cleared the grief and rocketed to the top. What hidden emotion is holding you back? Try our Essentials program at the special UK Health Radio rate. Visit cognamovement.com/radio or click on the Cogna Movement banner on the UK Health Radio homepage. Results vary.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving. It's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Yeah, you know, absolutely. I guess once you've given the initial information and awareness, then that's the next bit of the training program to say to people, well, look, there are these number of identifiable lifestyle factors which actually could reduce your risk. And in saying that, obviously, you're talking to a younger generation of people. And I guess the youngest generation of people you can talk to are children.
The children, I've written books about, you know, for children, just so that they understand what dementia is. The first book, 6 to 8, where it is, it's called Tando and Gogo. Gogo is grandma and the little girl, where she's looking at grandma, and she can actually see that there are some changes that are happening. So instead of laughing at grandma or belittling grandma, she's introduced to how love can actually embrace grandma and make her feel better about herself. So I feel that when they learn early, that's a very good start. And they are our champions from that age, you know, going up.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it's a good start anyway with children because they don't judge. So they see a smiley person in front of them, that is a smiley person. There's no kind of judgment, the kind of stigma that, you know, goes around the world in various ways, doesn't it? We still have it here in the UK, and you're right in saying a lot of that stigma comes from not understanding, because, yeah, not to use a cliche, but information is power, and it certainly is in this sphere.
It is, because I've seen it happening where you walk into a room where people have no idea, no clue as to what dementia is. But after a session, you can actually see, you know, the expression on people's faces that they are relating to their home life and what they've heard. And some of them start crying because there's a lot of regret there, where they've been maybe even up to the point of abusing someone because they just don't understand why they keep on repeating the same thing. They keep on asking me the same thing and they lose it. But now, after the training session, you can see relief in people's faces to say, yeah, now I understand why our loved ones are acting the way they do.
And that's, you know, that's a really important message. And you can only move forward from receiving that message. I mean, you know, how do you work alongside kind of medical professionals? Because obviously they're doing their area of things. There are drug treatments and various other things, obviously, on one side. But there are people like yourself who are dealing equally importantly with all the social aspects. I mean, how do you work together?
Yes. What I'm trying to do is to sort of make them realize how lived experience can actually work side by side, you know, with the doctors. But it's something new, Pete. it will take time for people to sort of accept it, to say, yes, let's try it and make it work side by side and see how far it goes. Because getting a diagnosis, you need someone's experience to sort of inform you and guide you. So if you leave that aside, then I feel the diagnosis is not complete.
Hmm. Yeah.
I don't know if I'm getting it right, but from where I'm standing, I think, you know, the people living with the condition have a lot to contribute about themselves, about their situation. So if doctors can actually take that and then run with other diagnostic tools that they have, I think the person has a better chance of getting a sort of, you know, a conclusive diagnosis.
Yeah, you're absolutely spot on. A few years ago, I went to a couple of meetings of the Dementia Action Alliance here in the UK, and I looked around the room and I said, isn't someone missing? And everybody looked at me and I said, well, we haven't got anybody who's living with dementia. So, you know, we're actually telling them what to do without actually asking them what they want done. And sadly, I think that's still the case in certain places. But one of the interesting things, I mean, time's running to a close. I saw, you know, your stuff on LinkedIn. One of the things that fascinated me was you wrote a little thing on LinkedIn that said, AI is here. Are we using it where it matters most? And obviously, you know, the world is changing. And in terms of technology, there is a lot of marvellous technology out there that could help us.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. You know, there's so much. I mean, technology is here to help us. We shouldn't be afraid of it. That's what I tell myself, that I'm not going to be afraid of it. It's here to stay. Even if I put blinkers and pretend that it's not there, it is there. And from what I've seen, it's coming with brilliant solutions. So if we can also sort of, you know, jump onto the bandwagon and accept it and use it to sort of champion our cause, I think there's greater prospects out there for everyone.
Yeah, that absolutely. I mean, technology is allowing us to meet. So, you know, if technology is allowing us to speak, probably 15 years ago, we wouldn't have had that opportunity. So, I mean, I think we've got over this, but I always ask my guests at the end about hopes for the future. I mean, if one thing could be achieved in the next 12 months, what would you want it to be?
Wow. To see government taking this off my shoulders in total, Pete, and running with it. And we are going to be the foot soldiers now, you know, running around, but with the government overseeing. Because if it does that, I think we would have won the battle. Because there'll be policies that are going to govern that. There'll be programs that have been blessed by government. And the sky is the limit.
Absolutely. Well, we wish you every success with doing that. I think you're doing a marvellous job. And, you know, OK, the government might take over with the policy, but, you know, I hope everybody remembers you're the one that started it. Because, it, you know, a lot of these good ideas always come from the bottom and go up, which is what's happening. And we wish you every success with Dementia Awareness Zimbabwe. Do keep in touch. Love to talk to you later on in the year and see how things are going.
Thank you, Pete. I will keep in touch. Thanks for having me.
We'll be right back.
thanks to Ruth for introducing us to Zimbabwe and I wish her every success with her plans for the year to come. We'll certainly get her back on the show to see how things are going. That's it for this week. Thanks to Angela, my production assistant. Next week, I'm going to be talking entertainment therapy with my guest, author and entertainer, Bob Shea, better known as Nurse Bob. So until then, thanks for your company and take care now.